Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. I'd like you to join me in the Sistine Chapel, where we can admire one among the cycle of frescoes on the side walls painted between 1481 and 1682, the work of Cosimo Rosselli. It's a depiction of the Last Supper, which I've asked our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Innes, to describe to us.
Particular painting of the Last Supper reflects and shows and illustrates the sacrament instituted by Christ himself while he was on earth, one of the two. The other one was baptism. Here we have Rosselli showing a different type of Last Supper than, let's say, Leonardo, because here we have almost like little cinema visions behind.
So the cinematic quality you mentioned takes place in the background, you know, where there are three little windows with these three pictures. But the Last Supper itself is taking place in the foreground.
Yes, you have obviously the curved table covered with very pale grey-brown cloth with the fringes. You can see the fringes there, the edges. He paid a lot of attention to detail, Rosselli. And all the figures with Christ in the middle are sitting around the table in a circle. And in front you have Judas, who obviously is going to betray Christ. And strangely enough, Judas is sitting right below the little window picture, which is above the main scene of the Last Supper, where Christ is betrayed, where Judas betrays Christ. So at the bottom, he's sitting below on a little stool, a three-legged stool, actually, if you look at it carefully here. He's dressed in purple, red, and yellow and green, and he has a tiny little devil sitting on his shoulder. Now, I'm sure most people have never noticed that as you go around the Sistine, because part of the fact is a bit far up from the ground, so if you're not looking at him through binoculars, you might have difficulty seeing it. His halo is also pale blue, as distinct from the golden halos of the other apostles, and obviously Christ himself has the halo with the red cross in the middle. And between Christ and between Judas, you can see the chalice. So it's a beautiful sense of separation from what is, let's say, evil. The action of betrayal is, of course, an evil thing, hence the devil on his shoulder. And the holiness of the sacrament of Christ, where he is just sitting with his hand raised in blessing. Now, apart from all the apostles, you have each side four figures who have not yet actually been identified. And then, of course, above them you have those three little scenes. You have Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, then afterwards the betrayal and the arrest. And on the third one over on the right, you have the actual crucifixion itself. So you have three little images. You have three crosses. So you have this continuous, something which is also continuous all through the Sistine Chapel, of the emphasis on the Trinity. Then below, as you can see here, Veronica, at the bottom, you have something you don't expect normally to see in the Sistine, in paintings of animals and basins. These are elements, pictorial elements, which they used a lot in the north of Europe, and where Rosselli actually copied here. So it wasn't normal to see the Last Supper depicted in this particular way, with cats and dogs playing in front of the table, because of obviously the solemnity of what's happening behind.
Breda, earlier you mentioned the symbolism of the number three, but here these objects, these household objects, are also symbolic, aren't they? Because they're the two pictures that we see there are in silver and gold.
Silver represents God's humanity, and gold represents his divinity. Also, silver represents the role of Peter, because remember, we're in Peter's church, or let's say Sixtus's church, and consequently all the popes. And gold is the heavenly aspect where the revelation is completed. Let's say that the promise of salvation is completed. So this constant gold and silver, this was probably done by Pinturicchio, because he did all of the landscape work on the wall frescoes in the Sistine.
What about the symbolism in the background scenes? You mentioned earlier that, for example, the stones that are present there have a particular meaning.
Anytime you see stones, it's this constant reminder, upon this rock I will build my church, and the church as a living stone, and Christ as a living stone.
Breda, from what you're saying, there's a sort of thematic link between the foreground of this fresco and the background, no?
Very beautiful here, because you can see the way the halos seem to make their way into the background, back of the wall, and it feels like it's linking you up to the scenes that almost like cinematographic scenes that are going on above the line of the wall, just above the heads of the apostles. So it's almost like you have a room where they're sitting. Below that you have these symbolic vessels, and then above that then you have these three openings which look like a film.
Rita, let's leave the cinematic effect in the background and get back to the Last Supper again and the main figures there.
Most of the figures in the Sistine Chapel, at least the what we call the bigger figures on the lower part of the wall painting, are put in such a way that the figures are almost life-size. And they link together through all the paintings, whether it's done by Perugino or any other painter, or Botticelli, all of them have more or less the same dimension. They all have the same, let's say, dimension in the terms of the size of the face. The hair is done in such a way that it tends to link up very much to the robes they're wearing. They're all dressed like doctors of the church, let's say. I'm sure the people sitting around the table of the Last Supper were not exactly dressed in robes that you would associate with doctors of the church, pontifical robes almost, in a sense. Because here you're thinking of the early popes per se.
But there's also a secular element to the main painting in the foreground. On each side of the table where the Last Supper is taking place, there are two figures dressed according to the fashion of the time, no?
In Renaissance costumes, but not the apostles. They're dressed in something that goes way back in the past. And the idea was to link the art of the past, for example, even Egyptian art, even the early Byzantine art, where you have all these figures in a line going up Sistine Chapel on each side, meaning when the Pope is entering and he's going in procession with his cardinals and bishops, he's moving along and the figures on the side are moving along with him. And they're all moving up the church through those little rings on the floor, which were used in the early Christian art and the early Paleo-Christian art on the floors of basilicas to help the people go in a procession in a rigorous, clear way. So it's just a lovely sense of circular movement of the rings, and on each side this continuous procession of figures going up the Sistine on the lower part of all the side frescoes on the wall, and then the Pope with his princes of the church going towards the main altar to celebrate what we see here, the enactment of sacrament of the Eucharist, the symbol of salvation and fundamental also to the role of the popes.
Our thanks there go to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.